the Gadget Grill on to RDJFM 88.1 on the FM band and on the internet at www.radio2rdj.com. Hi there, I am the Professor Stumpy Steamboat Gaz.
I'm Jeff Quattromani.
I'm Jason. I don't have a nickname yet, but I'm going to think of something to do with a Pokemon Murray.
And we are here sitting in Studio B at 2RDJ, and we are going to bring you another exciting edition of
The Gadget Grill.
Thank you.
That sounded like a pre-recorded ad, like that you just added in.
Yeah.
This is episode of
Gadget Grill. Welcome to The Gadget Grill.
Indeed, indeed. So, what have you all been up to, Jason?
I don't know. I went and emceed a pop culture convention.
I heard about that. I heard you did very well.
That's pretty cool.
It was quite fun.
Yeah.
Looking forward to doing that more often. Actually, I think we'll try to make it a little bit more organized next time.
How much fun is emceeing?
It is actually pretty good.
Yeah, it is fun. It is fun. I've emceed weddings before, and that's...
That's right. You told me you did one a few months ago, didn't you?
Well, I got married like 8 months ago, but then I did a wedding.
You didn't emcee your own wedding.
Oh, did you?
No, I didn't. I would have loved.
Did you have the earpiece on so you could like just give commentary as you walked around the room?
That would be fun.
Did you forget to turn it off when you left?
You go to the toilet.
The best thing I did, the last wedding I emceed, I got the groom's name wrong when I introduced them to the room.
As you do.
Yeah. Awkward.
Very awkward. I called him in by his brother's name. And not everyone noticed.
Because
people were too busy clapping, like, oh, yeah, they're coming in the room. But then people look at me going, like, oh, my God. I had no idea. Because it just didn't occur to me. I thought, anyway, moving on.
Just wonder why everyone was looking at you. They're just like, Jeff, you're doing a stellar job.
Yeah, and I was like, thank you. Yeah. Don't look at me. Like, yeah, the bride and groom just walked in.
He's over there.
Yeah.
And the bride just walks in with the groom's brother.
And I hear about it to this day still from them.
As you should.
Yeah.
As well you should.
Gary, what have you been up to this week?
What have I been up to this week? There was work and took the car in for service and got a loaner, and I'm still in the loaner because they're having fun with one of the warranty items on there. Very, very minor thing. They need to replace one of the seatbelts. So on Thursday they rang me up and told me that they need to replace one of the seatbelts, and that's got to come up from Melbourne, and the seatbelt will be up on Friday.
Yep.
And on Friday they ring me up and we've got the seatbelt, but it also needs a couple of Teflon pieces as well, and they didn't come up, so we've now got to get them up from Melbourne. So hopefully they'll be up tomorrow, Monday, and... might have the car back tomorrow afternoon.
You've been without your darling car.
I've been without one of my cars, but the replacement car has been more than adequate, brand new, less than 1,000 kilometres on it when I picked it up.
And so you've thrashed it?
No, I haven't. That's not a sort of car you can thrash, actually. But it's been adequate. So we've been driving around. That is actually, in some ways, is better than what I have because... You sit in it a little bit higher, so it's easier to get in and out of.
Yeah, true.
And at my age, that's an important thing.
Mm.
And it's also easier for carrying the musical instruments and stuff around in when I need to carry them.
Fold the seats down, right?
I can fold the seats down in the other car as well, but this has got, it's a more of a hatchback style thing.
Like a minivan.
Kind of like a minivan. So a little bit easier. So it's been interesting driving that around for the last few days. Heated seats.
Yeah,
first time.
I don't know what you're talking about. Like, this never. I never get heated seats because I catch the train.
On trains they don't have them.
Wednesday night.
No, you wouldn't know this, Jeff. You know, like I have to impart knowledge.
Wednesday
somehow.
Night, we were coming back from the pub from the jam. And we turned on the heated seating, and
did
it had
you
been
do a few
raining.
More, few more, few more it had circuits been, around the block.
Oh, we did indeed. it was really quite interesting.
Yeah, I don't. I like it for about 5 seconds.
When you're wearing wet jeans,
no one wants the sweat in their bums.
No. When you're wearing wet jeans, and the heated seating comes
best
on,
ever of heated
it is. It is. Like something that you don't really necessarily want to feel.
Yeah, it's like you've wet your pants by the end of it all.
Jeff said that, not I.
It just is. It's a hot bum.
It is. And it's also also in the small of your back.
Yeah, it does the lower back.
It was It was quite good. On a cold evening, I can understand that. You know, and especially...
Takes the edge off.
Well, especially if I was in a convertible with the top down in the snow.
A convertible would be awesome.
In a convertible, top down, driving around the snow, this would just absolutely make it so much better again. Absolutely wonderful. So, that's been my week. Plus, of course, the usual crap at work and finding out about technology and learning about all sorts of new technology items and stuff like that.
Including the census.
Including the census, which we're going to be talking about a little bit later.
Yep.
And, of course, the limp picks are on. So we're going to talk
Do you mean that gathering of athletes?
Gathering of athletes somewhere on the other side of the world.
Well,
in another hemisphere.
Yeah. Well, that's
We're going to probably talk about that as well. Yep. In the meantime, here's a song especially for Jeffrey.
Yeah.
It is from the 1960s.
In replacement of my week.
And I am going to switch.
Hear about your week.
I'm going to open the microphones at an appropriate juncture during this song so we can all join in.
You're just going to get us chatting.
Oh, yeah.
We'll just be chatting.
This is the Kinks, dedicated follower of fashion.
They seek him here, they seek him there, his clothes are loud but never square. It will make or break him, so he's got to buy the best, 'cause he's a dedicated follower of fashion. And when he does his little rounds round the boutiques of London town.
Welcome back to the Gadget Grill on Radio 2RDJ, 88.1 FM, on the internet at www.radio2rdj.com.
It is time. It is time on the Gadget Grill for this week's news.
I like how you say it like we've got like a massive plethora of tasty news morsels for the listener.
Of course we do.
We do.
Get lathered up.
For instance... This week there was an announcement from our dear good friends at Samsung about the new Note 7 phone.
That's correct.
Yeah, the Galaxy Note 7.
Yeah, the Galaxy Note 7.
Awesome. So who wants to talk about the Galaxy Note 7?
Have you got a fancy spec sheet, Jason?
I'm just scrolling down to it.
Well, the biggest thing that they've announced with this phone, which I can see, is this whole iris scanning to unlock your phone.
That's a very interesting technology.
So it's could not be. It's not that
you
new.
You've got to take a flower with you.
Huh?
No. Not an iris flower, no.
Oh. No. I thought that Samsung had something like this before. I mean, they had iris.
Who did?
No.
Microsoft.
Who?
Yeah, them.
Right.
No, Nokia. Nokia had... iris scanner on a Lumia phone a couple of years ago.
Huh.
Yeah.
Well, Samsung's got it now.
Yeah, they do.
Revolutionary. So
now it's revolutionary.
It made it to the news. That was on television news.
My God. Yeah. Mainstream media.
So the Note 7 is a 5.7-inch phablet, as we call it now, although 5.7 inches is not really that...
No, but it's got the S Pen.
It's got the S Pen, and it's also got a curved screen, whether you like it or not.
Yes, there's no flat option, is there?
Mm-hmm.
And besides,
so the world is curved.
And besides that, that's it.
It's basically an S7.
Bigger
battery, of course.
Let me ask you, when in years gone by has it not been true that the Note is a larger Galaxy S phone with the stylus and stuff?
It's usually had a few extra features.
I would say that the reason that the Note used to be much more exciting was because the S5 or S4 was quite a bit smaller.
Yes, that's right.
Whereas now the phones aren't that much bigger and you're really just getting a pen.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of where it ends now. It doesn't seem to differentiate that much more.
And it's not going to be a cheap pen, even though it comes free with the phone.
Well, it's part of the phone.
The phone itself is, $1,349.
$1,349.
Mm. Although, if you buy it early from certain purveyors,
yeah,
you will get a 256 gigabyte micro SD card.
And I do happen to know, after looking at the pricing that came out this week, that if you shop around to a particular carrier, you can actually pick the phone up for $1,200 if you do a 1 month of service and then cancel.
Oh.
Hmm.
So
you could do like 30 days at $30, pick up the phone for $150 cheaper, and then...
But then you'd have to return the phone, wouldn't you?
No, because you bought the phone for $1,200.
Oh.
That's not nothing.
Okay.
But yeah, so if you shop around a little bit smart, you can save $100 or so off it, but it is
Do you get the SD card with that?
Not sure.
Okay.
Not sure. So I would actually just like to point out, though, that, like, you know, well may we mock it for being a super expensive phone. The Galaxy S7 is also the most expensive Galaxy S phone that Samsung's ever produced.
Yeah, of course.
And it's also selling like hotcakes.
It is.
I don't think the price is really going to...
That's because most people get phones on a plan.
Yeah. And
that's the reality of it.
I think we're at the point now with phones costing more than, you know, $1,000, $1,200, $1,300 up front. I think we're at the point where buying a phone on a plan actually makes a lot of sense. And so a lot of people getting the Galaxy S7 were Galaxy S5 owners who are upgrading after their two-year contract is finished.
Yeah.
Well, one of the other things that I noticed over the weekend, watching a bit of TV and seeing ads for the various big box stores, a Galaxy Note 7, $1,350, a laptop with an Intel Core i7 CPU.
It's like $400.
And 8 gigabytes of RAM. Yep. $700 for a Core i7. But yeah, you get the point.
Harder to make phone calls with it, though, these days.
It is a little bit difficult to make. Well, no, because you can install the SIP on there, and then if you've got a...
Oh, yeah, and I saw lettuce. Use Facebook Messenger. That's like saying I saw lettuce on special, and I could buy like 1,000 lettuces for the price of a Note 7. Like, it's apples and oranges here.
Lettuces?
Yeah. You can't compare a laptop, the price of a laptop, to a phone. It's not the same. But I
do think it's interesting, though, because laptops have historically been big-ticket items.
Sure. And
that place in your life is very much being taken up by phones these days.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's exactly my point, that a laptop is a much more powerful piece of technology, especially with something like a Core i7 in there.
Until someone tries to call you.
Yeah, until that's all right, yeah.
You can buy a 65-inch TV for less than $1,300.
Jeff, what do you got?
Good stuff. All right, the big news for me, the biggest thing I've got in front of me today is Instagram stories.
Yeah.
Now, we will probably touch this later when we talk about the Olympics, but Snapchat has been owning the story space, the sharing of moments, not massive moments in time, sharing those moments with friends that disappear after 24 hours. Now, Instagram jumping in on this after Facebook had wanted to buy Snapchat so many times, this is kind of a big deal. Because
I think so, yeah.
And I think Instagram Stories was rolled out because everyone already had an Instagram account, that it became, oh, this is why I don't need Snapchat anymore.
Do you think it was rolled out just in time for the Olympics?
Yeah. Well, yes. However, I don't see them capitalizing on it very much because...
It's still rolling out, though.
Yeah, because Instagram Stories is very much just the people you're connected with.
Yeah.
It's not events. So with Snapchat, you can go in and they'll make public events from other people you don't even follow on Snapchat collated for you, whereas Instagram hasn't done that yet.
You know the best thing I saw on Snapchat stories?
Mm-hmm.
I saw a collection of moments from the Extreme Pogo Championship.
I love that.
What?
That is so great. Because
it was actually a really good video, too.
Yeah, Snapchat does a really good job of bringing together people's snaps from particular events and giving you something to watch to cover it. I'm hoping that Instagram goes down that path as well because, yeah, literally for me, it will be the death of my Snapchat use.
It's
a big deal, so people can start using that now.
Jason?
What else do I want to do? Apple.
Apple, I know. I've heard of them.
Apple started a program this week that Google's had going for a couple of years.
Yes, yes.
Apple has started offering a monetary bounty for people to find bugs in iOS. I'm not sure if it covers macOS as well, actually, but it's definitely in iOS. And so I think given the position that Apple's in the States, where the NSA and the FBI clearly have found a way into iPhones, it's probably in Apple's best interest to start offering money idea. For someone to actually tell them how they did that.
Mm.
Yes.
So yeah, I thought that was an interesting just a quick little line item this week. Google has been offering this for a while, I think, with Chrome OS and with they do have a bug bounty for Android. There's certain conditions attached to it, but yeah, I thought that was quite a nice step for them.
Mm. Indeed. A story kind of tangential to
tangential.
This yes. is a word.
Yes,
we just put extra syllables in things that the gadget really.
Yes,
be right back, Google.
Yes. Tangential to technology, but
might be tangential to someone's genitals.
No.
Relating to or along a tangent. Very good.
There you go.
Very good use of that word, tangential.
Thank you. To technology, and definitely relating to what we do here in the studio, a guy in Wollongong by the name of Dan Morris loves reggae music, and he wants to share it with the world.
Does he like cricket?
Probably. I could play that if you want me to. I could probably
find that. Were you saying before the show we still had one song left to fill?
Yeah. And he started his own pirate radio station because he couldn't get onto... Any local community radio stations.
Just give us a call. Come up to Burwood.
I know. He should do that.
Tangential.
Because we've got. I'm sure we could find a vacancy for him to play some of his music
right before
us. But he's been pinged by the Australian Communications and Media Authority, fined $3,000 for possessing and operating radio communications devices. Without a license.
He was actually broadcasting his own FM.
He was broadcasting his own station, his own music from his house.
Bravo.
And...
I thought you said they were going to fine him for playing reggae.
No.
You don't like reggae? I love it.
I love it.
That couldn't have gone better.
We've clearly amused ourselves.
My tidbit of news here, just some news from Epson this week. They've announced 6, 7 new projector models to dump into your home theatre, which are 4K enhanced. You could if you buy all of them. But from $2,500, you can start doing some serious upscaling in your home theatre.
Oh, nice.
Not actual 4K resolution, to be clear, but it will take your 1080 picture and enhance it quite a bit digitally. And they look stunning. And the pricing is pretty good. $2,500 for a home theatre projector? You're getting there.
Home theatre projectors are definitely coming down into the more affordable range, especially as TVs move up market as well.
Mm. And HDR. Mm. HDR built in. Like, not a bad option.
If you're putting together
a new house, need a new projector, want a 110-inch screen without buying a
$10,000
TV.
Yeah. It's your wall.
Cover your wall in picture.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you. You've been listening to The Gadget Grill on Radio 2 RDJ. We're going to a music soon with Gary. What have you got for us?
I've got the Honeycombs because I don't have Dreadlock Holiday by 10cc. So we're going to go with the Honeycombs.
First time Gary hasn't had a song requested.
Yeah. I don't have everything. I'm going to keep looking because I haven't had a long... because I can't look while I'm talking, you see. And I was talking during that previous item. So this is the Honeycombs and Have I the Right?
The right to hold you. You know I've always told you that we must never, ever part. Oh, have I the right to kiss you? You know I'll always miss you. I've loved you from the very start.
It's the Gadget Grill on 2 RDJ FM. 88.1 on the FM band, on the internet at www.radio2rdj.com. Jason is sitting there looking like a stunned.
I don't know what's happening. Like, it feels like we've just skipped 10 minutes of the show. This is usually what happens.
10 minutes of the show.
It's usually Gary does the last intro of the show.
The last couple of intros. Yeah. I'm just mixing things up a little bit to keep us all on our toes.
Keep your brain as we're sitting in our seats.
As we're sitting in our seats, yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, I don't think I'll stand for it.
Speaking of being kept on your toes.
Yes.
This Tuesday. Is it Tuesday?
Tuesday.
Call me up when I'm start saying the wrong thing.
If you're listening to this broadcast, to the repeat of this broadcast on Tuesday, August the 9th.
Yes.
Then today is Senseless Day. Census Day.
Census Day. Time to tell everyone who you are, what you do, and what you believe in.
Exactly.
I love it.
And you've got to start by telling people who you are, your name.
This is my first time doing a census, I think.
Really? What have you been
do you start doing it?
Well, you start doing it when you're basically when you're the head of a household.
Uh-huh.
And it's every 5 years. So the last one was in 2011 and you were still living with your mum in those days.
Absolutely.
So basement? Your mum.
Mm-hmm. Huh? Basement?
No, bedroom.
Oh.
Right. So your mum probably did in those days.
Yeah.
And this time you have your own mortgage.
Your own household.
Yeah. You have a wife. You have 17 cars and 14 cats.
So is your wife going to fill it in for you?
No, she has to do her own one, doesn't she?
No. Head of the household.
Head of the household. You do it for all residents of your dwelling on the night of August the 9th.
I thought it was one each.
No.
Well, that's interesting.
One per dwelling.
That's really interesting. I thought it was one each.
No.
Okay.
You nearly submitted multiple censuses. So, look, we've already educated people. This is going well.
Yeah. I thought you just, I don't know how you get into it or how you log in, but
Did you get a letter from the Bureau of Statistics?
No.
You should have received a letter by now, or you should have had somebody call into your house and deliver to you a piece of paper.
I don't have a landline.
Now,
doesn't matter.
You should call in.
Now, Gary.
Oh, sorry, they're going to visit you.
No.
Well, there's a bit of a controversy over the census this year.
There's more than one controversy over the census.
Like what?
And if you look on the internet, if you look on Twitter, you'll see a hashtag that is trending called Census Fail.
Mm.
And it hasn't even started yet.
Well, exactly. One of the problems is, and I first heard about this about 2 weeks ago, is in previous censuses. They would keep your name for about 14 months and then...
They would keep your identity attached to your census responses.
Yes, for about 14 months and then they would disconnect everything.
Right.
This year they're doing it for 4 years, or this census. They're going to keep your identifying data attached to your responses for 4 years.
Okay.
A lot of people are very upset over that because...
Why is that?
They're saying that it destroys their privacy. You know, your privacy is a right for you to say what can be kept.
So why is 14 months okay and 4 years is not?
So part of the reason why people are up in arms about this is because it creates one massive honeypot of data.
Let's answer the question.
I'm getting to that.
Okay.
It creates a massive honeypot of data where hackers will become interested in obtaining this data, which has every single person in Australia with their personal responses, which could be used to help steal their identity, attached to their names. In the past, the ABS has admitted that they've failed to disconnect this data within their stated time frame. So it's been associated for longer than they said it would, which means that they can't even be trusted to keep to their advertised timelines.
So,
and this is why extending those timelines out to 4 years, they haven't earned the right to manage my personal information that way because they've mismanaged it in the past.
So if they did it in the past, say for 4 years and not told anybody, did anyone get hurt? Everyone
That's
okay?
That's not the point.
We don't know yet.
Who cares? If you got hurt, you would care.
But let's think about what questions they ask in the census.
Religion,
income.
Sexuality.
Income.
Job.
They ask
That's
a lot
not
of
hard, not hard no, stuff. I can Google you and find that stuff out pretty quick.
There's a lot of stuff about me that they ask that is not Googleable. I value my privacy, as you guys know.
I know.
Quite intensely. Mm-hmm. And this to me, you know, the problem is what part of online says that your privacy and security is guaranteed.
Never has.
That's exactly
the
point.
So are you doing it on paper instead this year then?
Well, it's still going to go on online. So yep. I did it online last time. I'll do it online this time.
Yep.
But there's also some serious discussion now online about what you may or may not do that is within the law. What does the law actually say that you must comply with in terms of the census?
I was going to say, what do you do if you want to not fill it in?
Well, if you don't fill in your census form,
yep.
you are subject to a fine of $180. You may be subject to a fine of $180 per day until you complete it.
Yep.
So if you go for 3 months without completing it, that's quite a significant penalty.
Mm-hmm.
Now, one of the things that people are really objecting to, of course, is the fact that they're asking you for your name.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the census...
Well, they've always asked for the name.
They've
how would they know you did it if you didn't give them their name, though?
Well, you're not allowed to give false information.
Yep.
That will be subject to those sorts of penalties.
Yep.
The question arises, though, are they actually authorised to ask you for your name? The Bureau of Statistics is authorised to gather this information for statistical purposes. They're authorised to ask you for information relating to statistical purposes. Now, your name is not statistical information. It is not being gathered for statistical purposes.
It's not statistically significant.
However, it is if you want unique responses. Because if you just open it up to anyone to do it multiple times as much as they like, then it skews your numbers.
Absolutely
so
correct.
You need a unique identifier, and that's your name.
Well, why not have a separate set of keys that is kept in a separate database that has your name and a number that relates back to the other one.
So if you log in with, a driver's license number, Medicare person's
something like
number,
that, phone number?
It's still going to link back to you.
But not directly.
So further to the point, though, what are your choices if you don't want to do it?
If you don't want to do it, well, one interesting choice that, Jason, you mentioned earlier this evening was leave the country.
Oh, God. Yeah, and you know what? And don't come back.
No.
That will suit me really well because if someone is so upset about filling out a census form, which helps the government make decisions around what to do in your area, and then you'll complain about, oh, there's a mosque next door now, I didn't do the census, I don't want this mosque. Mate, grow up here. It's wrong.
So I have
the mosque has nothing to do with the census.
Yeah, but it's like people are going to leave the country just to avoid a fine. Fill out the form. Who cares?
So I have a colleague at work.
Yep.
Sits next to me at work, and he's legitimately afraid to fill out the census because he identifies religiously as a Muslim.
That's fine.
And he's like, what's going to happen to this data? Like, you know, are they going to come along and round me up if there's a few more terrorist attacks?
A lot of people who are not natively born in Australia, a lot of immigrants, they have a fear of authority because authorities in the countries that they come from are very, very oppressive.
Mm.
And I can understand exactly what this person is saying, and I have a lot of sympathy for that person's point of view. The person who's leaving the country, my understanding is they're flying out tomorrow,
mm-hmm.
flying back into Australia on Wednesday.
It'll probably be Wednesday.
Wednesday, yeah. Which
although technically you said they only actually have to spend Tuesday night.
They only have to, away. Yeah. You could fly out on Tuesday, come back on Wednesday morning, and that would put you within the legal perspective of not being in the country on the night of the census, and therefore you're not eligible to be included in the census.
And just to be clear, if someone's uncomfortable with putting their religion down, they can choose a different religion.
Well, but that is actually breaking the law because you're putting in false information. Of course, with the religion, I think the religion remains a non-compulsory question.
So it's non-compulsory.
So it's non-compulsory.
So they could skip it if they're really uncomfortable.
That is correct.
So then stay in Australia then. Don't worry about it. Life's good.
Well,
I don't see how this is actually a big deal. I can't believe this is a topic. It's the census. It's your chance to say who you are in the community and so that people understand what the place looks like.
I think the majority of Australians absolutely love saying who they are, but they want to say that as part of dare I say, Team Australia.
One team.
One team. As part of
as part of
the Greater Australia, they do not want to be personally identified and personally selected, being able to be identified as a part of this information.
This is,
and I fully respect, understand and sympathise with that point of view.
I want to see what happens over the next 4 years to the census data, whether or not it makes the ABS a target for hacking.
I think Jason's point that it's creating a honeypot is a very, very real risk.
Ooh.
And of all the organisations that manage our data, the government is amongst those who I have the least confidence in being able to do that in a competent manner.
So the ATO,
no one wants
their data?
No. Well, the ATO, a lot of people want their data,
like,
and they get hacked on a regular basis.
And we're all still here.
We're all still
okay.
Here. But yeah, I have very little confidence in government organisations to maintain any semblance of real security.
Well, to the listeners, do it. Grow
okay.
up.
Okay. This is Renee Geyer, Stairs and Whispers.
Seems appropriate after the census discussion.
Indeed.
With the Gadget Grill on Radio 2RDJ 88.1 FM and on the internet at www.radio2rdj.com.
And Jeffrey,
yes.
You look absolutely resplendent this evening in your...
My Australian football
your
jacket.
Your Australian football tracky top. Australian.
You're flying the colours.
The green and gold.
Mm-hmm.
It is the Olympics. It is the Olympics. And
the Olympics are here.
I caught some of the opening ceremony on the weekend.
I'm so sorry.
And got to see...
Is there a cure for that?
Exactly.
All right.
Well, actually, Jeff went down to the deli afterwards and got some cured ham, so yes.
Wow, I've got no idea where that went. No.
So
not the first time that's happened this week.
Cured ham.
Watched a little bit of the opening ceremony.
Ding!
And got to see Australia march out, which was quite good.
It was great, wasn't it?
And then this morning I got to see us take our first gold medal in the swimming, which was quite cool as well. Mainly pure out of luck that I had the TV on and it was available. Now,
so it was the accidental Olympics celebration.
Yeah, it was.
And you're like, yeah, that's awesome. Yeah. I didn't know that was on.
Now, Channel 7 has got all the rights to all the broadcasting for the Olympic Games in Australia, but that is not the only
rights.
Way. Yes, yeah. And it's not the only way that we can actually watch it. And I think that was something worth having a quick yarn about now, because what I've noticed is there's a few ways online that you can watch it, whether it's from your mobile device or whatnot. But
do tell.
Say, for example, download the 7 app on your phone. That works. You can stream and go for your life and watch stuff there. What I also liked was that you can actually, if you've got a Samsung phone, you can actually get access to 7 Rio's VR app as well, which allows you to watch 360 videos 100 hours of it over the course of the Olympic Games.
Oh, really?
Yeah, 360-degree videos of track and field, gymnastics, opening and closing ceremonies. So technically sitting
be
in a seat.
Be very, very wary of the javelin throw.
Yes, as it comes right at you.
Yes.
And that's a really cool thing that we wouldn't have seen in the prior Olympics. The other thing that that we didn't see in the prior Olympics as well was how much we can watch through apps, which we have, our social apps. So Snapchat, for example, puts together stories of live events, and we've spoken about that in the news, but the Olympics one has been very good. I've been using that to catch up quite a bit on what's happening in the Olympics, because people who are at the stadiums or players or athletes are actually posting a lot of stuff into these stories.
It's like Real Talk.
And it's coming straight out of Rio, and that's not being televised or edited. It's straight out of the guts of it, and I think it's been pretty stunning.
So it's kind of you've got the person on the, you know, guerrilla reporting on the ground versus the official app, which I just had a look in the Google Play Store, and the official app, people don't seem very happy with it.
Yes,
so the 1.5 stars.
Yeah, and on the same on the
about
Apple
the same
one as well.
About the same on iOS as well. Yeah. So people aren't very happy with the app. People are saying that it's slow, it lags, it doesn't load properly, everything like that. One can't help but feel that maybe Seven might have wanted to test this a little bit more.
Yeah, and this
well, they only had there's they a, only had what 4 years, 4 years to get it ready.
4 years.
So there, it also it costs money to to watch everything in the app. It's $20.
Yeah, for a season pass or something like that. Yeah, yeah.
That to me, for an app within the context of what apps cost on that's Android well and iPhone, you talk about $1 to $2 as a typical app cost.
I'd say sort of up to $5 these days.
Up to $5.
Yeah.
There's only one other app that I can think of that goes well beyond that, and that is the official Formula One app.
It's $20.
$20.
That's an in-app purchase, isn't it?
That's
in-app purchase.
So I will say that I've spent more than $20 on Pokemon.
However, that's that's you're paying for content there. So with apps for games, $2, whatever. But you're paying for content, and this is going to be quite a lot of video content that will be delivered to you. So it could be worth, if you're really crazy about your sport and want to catch all the time, that's an option. But Twitter has a thing called Moments as well, which I found
you
to be
okay
to get little video snaps, mostly from Channel 7 that they're sharing.
It's not really a surprise that Twitter's going to sort of play it safe by using official tweets from the real broadcaster.
Purely official stuff, no on-the-ground stuff. But honestly, download Snapchat and have a look at the stories. Whether you have differing opinions of the app itself, the content's been really good. And it's only been two days, so I'm enjoying it.
Okay. Cool.
Sounds good.
As long as somebody's enjoying it.
Absolutely. Yeah. Whereas Facebook has been dead.
Okay.
Dead quiet.
This is Captain Matchbox Whoopee Band. That cat is high.
Yards from the pole, and it's homegrown from Acapulco Gold, stopping in its track. Lebanese Red coming at them with Afghan Black on the outside, but it'd be homegrown, the winner, in the Melbourne Cup. Homegrown
at that cat is high. Look at that loon in his eye. Old man is high. He's higher than the sky. That cat is high. Look at that loon in his eye. Man, I wouldn't lie. Cat's higher than the sky. Now when you see him dancing up and down the street, you know that cat's been smoking demoiselles upon his feet. Man, he's high. I said that cat is high. That cat is high. He's higher than the sky. That cat is high. Look at that, look at his eyes. Old man is high. He's higher than the sky. That cat is high. Look at them two stone guys. Man, I wouldn't lie. That's higher than the sky. Now when you see him dripping round the mouth,
home cooking,
that cat is whack right to the grand wop-a-doo-doo.
Welcome back to the Gadget Grill on 2RDJ FM. The wonderful 2RDJ FM at 88.1 on the FM band and on the internet at www.radio2rdj.com. Jeff was not looking at me then. Naughty, Jeff.
I was ready.
Naughty.
I was ready.
You were ready for that, were you?
Always.
Okay, Jason.
Jason.
The smart trampoline.
Yes, go ahead.
The crowd goes wild. He's delivered a useless gadget. Thank you.
What's
and good
do?
Night.
What's it do?
It monitors your every jump.
So it just counts them?
It counts them. It can tell how strong your jump was, etc. Yeah.
Good work.
Yeah.
It's out.
Thank you. Thank you.
How much is it? That always makes it more fun.
You know, I'm not actually sure.
Oh, okay. What does it actually do?
It monitors your jumps.
That's it.
Yeah. That's it.
Well, what else could it do, right?
Yeah, no, like really, yeah.
Bluetooth?
Bluetooth, presumably so, yes.
I'd love that. I'd love to be connected to my trampoline.
I think
Thank you.
I think it's just reacting to us now. Gary's just playing the sound effects.
I like it. I like the sound effects. We should have them after every one of my jokes.
Okay. Now it is. Now you're in deep trouble.
I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
I think it would have been a good idea. No, that's not it either.
Well, my nomination for the useless gadget, of course, goes back to our earlier story with the Bureau of Census and the census coming up. Because while we were at dinner, I went to the Australian Bureau of Census website and I clicked on the link to complete the census on my phone, which is a supported phone according to everything that they say, with a supported operating system and a supported browser. And it told me that
it was not supported.
It was not supported.
It should have just told you it's not Tuesday yet, mate.
You can actually complete it early.
Alert.
Oh, so I can do it today.
You can do it tonight when you get home.
Should have said alert. Gary Stark's phone was detected. We're sounding alarm bells and klaxons in irony control.
Absolutely.
Are you sure I can do it early?
Yes. It is to be done as at Tuesday the 9th of August. It can be done before or after, but for the 9th
of
August.
You are making forward-looking projections on who will be sleeping in your house that night.
Exactly.
Well, what if you have a last-minute party?
Complete my census.
You could have a census party.
Yeah.
I don't know. What's a census login?
That's the letter that you get with a number.
Can you log in with Facebook?
No.
You totally should be able to.
It would save me so much time.
I know, right?
Mm.
Facebook can also tell where you are, so it can fill in the census for you.
If the ABS just worked with Facebook, we'd all have to just have the night off.
Yeah.
There you go.
Thanks, guys.
There you go. This is Ray Brown and the St. Louis Blues. I'm the Professor, Stumpy Steamboat Gaz.
I'm Jeff Quattromani.
I'm Jason Murray.
You have been listening to, or maybe you have just missed, The Gadget Grill. We'll see you next time. Take care, Australia.
Do your census. Bye.
Please look forward to missing us in the future.